العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الخلق أجمعين محمد وآل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. لنا الكافي the number 11 chapter on not to speak without knowledge. In this chapter there are many ahadith which inform us that if we are asked any mas'ala, any question on religion, if we know the answer we reply. If we don't know, we should say that I don't know without any hesitation. Otherwise, if we don't know about something and then we tempt the people, that by itself is a sin and a great responsibility. We see the first hadith from Abu Abdullah alayhi salam, I restrain you from two propensities as they bring all mankind to grief. So Imam alayhi salam says these two characters will bring mankind to grief. Firstly, not to resort to wrong ways regarding your divine religion. Here is an hakan to deen Allah bil batil wa tufti an-nas bima la ta'lam. Secondly, not to pronounce any verdict without knowledge. تدين الله بالباطل in Arabic, which he said not to resort to wrong ways regarding your divine religion. What is meant is not to take باطل, the wrong thing, as your faith between you and Allah, that you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with that, whether in belief by saying or in belief by heart or by practice. The باطل here, wrong ways, which is mentioned in Babel, is anything which is taken from other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed is haq, the truth. What Allah has not decreed and has not said, and His Holy Prophet has not mentioned it, and we take it from people, not from Allah, not from the Prophet, that is the Babel and the wrong things. So we cannot take news of general people as facts and we adopt them and follow them in our life. We have to take only the views of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as He declared in the Holy Quran or His Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned. Of course, practically we see many people, unfortunately, instead of referring to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or to the Holy Prophet, they refer to some other people. He said the scholar so-and-so said, or the philosopher said, or that scientist said, or this orientalist said, or that PhD man said, etc. So they refer to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in matters of belief or in matters of life and regard that as facts. So this is one of the very bad and wrong things, and this hadith clearly says, and تَدِينَ اللَّهَ بِالْبَاطِلِ. The term is beautifully used in Arabic. It's not to make the batil as your faith between you and Allah, but what is between you and Allah is what Allah has said and what the Holy Prophet has said. In the Day of Judgment, you are questioned by Allah, so we have to say that, oh Allah, I did this because it is in Quran, or I did that because it was said by the Holy Prophet. I cannot tell Allah I did this because Dr. So-and-so said, or the Western Orientalist said, or the philosopher said that this is good. Allah said, I did not tell you to follow this and that. Why you followed it? The deen has to be taken only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second one is to pronounce any verdict without knowledge. Literally, if you don't know something, you should say simply, I don't know. Well, the second hadith gives the same idea, Imam Ali Salam said same thing, and the third hadith will come on Abu Ja'far Ali Salam. He said all the angels of divine mercy and the angels of divine wrath invoke curse for the person who pronounces verdicts regarding religious affairs before the people without having knowledge and guidance. So the one who gives fatwa or verdict to people without knowledge and without proper guidance, both malaika, malaika of mercy and malaika of wrath, will curse him. Malaika of mercy will curse him because he made the people deprived from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And malaika of wrath will curse him because he made the people deserving to be cursed and deserving to be punished. So both malaika will curse him. Then Imam said, وَلَحَقَهُ وَجْرَ مَنْ عَمِلَ بِفَتْوَى. Further, such a person is liable to bear all the responsibilities of the person who follow his wrong verdict. Not only he will be punished because he gave a statement without knowledge, but also the people who follow him, and they are misguided by his verdict, the punishment of the people or the sins of the people will be referred to him, so that maybe thousands of people follow him, so the sins of all these thousand people will come to him as well. So the people will be punished for their sins, that is separately, but he will carry sins of the people as well. He will share them. He will be leader of the sinful people because he was the main person to misguide them. So you see how much it stress. If we don't know something, we should not cook ideas from ourselves or give fatwa that this is halal, this is haram, or this is in Islam, or that is not in Islam, or this is right and that is wrong. Right and wrong is not that easy thing to say unless one has a clear view from the Holy Quran or from the Sunnah of the Holy Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam, what is right, what is wrong. Otherwise, to depend on our own ideas or on books or on newspapers or on media or on politicians or on scholars or philosophers or whatever it is, that will not give us the right and clear path. What will give us the right path is the, show us the right path is the Holy Quran and Sunnah of the Holy Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam. Well, you see in other hadith again, in hadith number 4, Imam alayhi salam listening, tell the people what you know, and in case you don't know, say Allah knows best. Know if a person singles out any verse from Quran, the book of Allah, to misinterpret it, he falls down as far away as the heaven is from the earth. If somebody discuss an ayah of the Holy Quran without knowing its meaning, then he is as if somebody is falling from heaven to earth. He is so far in distance in that. This far from heaven and earth, it means he is far from mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If somebody falls from heaven to earth, he is losing too much, but he said it is more far because he is more far from the mercy of Allah. So the loss he got because he lost mercy of Allah is more than loss of somebody who is falling from heaven to earth. So that is the meaning of the hadith. Maybe in the translation it's not very clear. And fifth hadith, he said, if a learned man is interrogated on something he does not know, it is obligated on him to state, Allah knows best. But if he is not learned and still interrogated, then he has no right even to state that much. That is, Allah knows best. Well, you see, the alim, if he knows, then, well, because he has knowledge. So when he says Allah knows best, means he is discussing about end of his knowledge. So he can discuss that. But if somebody is jahil, he know nothing, he should say simply, I don't know. It's not only to say, because saying Allah knows best sometimes is misleading to people. But he says nobody knows meaning of this except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the feeling. So such type of a statement has to be said only by a alim, not by a jahil. But somebody who instead is ignorant, he says simply, I don't know. But somebody who is a alim, who researched the thing and then he could not reach the answer, well, he has the right to say, well, Allah knows this. I don't know. So this is the again, the hadith number 6 is also explaining some more details about hadith number 5, because you say if the ignorant person says Allah knows best, then there will be some doubt in heart of the person. But if you say I don't know, there will be no doubt. And again, the type of ethics that for somebody who is asking, if he asks someone and say I don't know, he should not accuse him of anything. That he is stupid or is ignorant. No, he should say simply he don't know, fine. Well, the hadith number 9, there are little more details. This hadith from Ibn Shabrama, who is the chief judge of Kufa, saying, my heart starts trembling like anything whenever I remember this very tradition which I have heard from Ja'far ibn Muhammad Sadiq alayhi salam, as saying. So Ibn Shabrama, the chief judge of Kufa, hear this hadith, and this hadith is so important that this man, being a judge, and always he has to give verdicts to people. Now if you give verdict of something he don't know, I mean, there is a big responsibility for him. That is why he says, my heart is trembling always when I remember this hadith. But Imam says, he says, my father has quoted my grandfather. His father is Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, quoted his grandfather, Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam, and he reached to the Prophet, who has narrated it from the Prophet. And then Imam Zain al-Abidin from Imam Hussein, from Imam Ali alayhi salam, his grandfather, Imam Ali alayhi salam, from the Holy Prophet, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said. Then now Ibn Shabrama says, the narrator, after swearing in the name of Allah that his, the Imam's father, had never made any false reference to his great grandfather, and his great grandfather had never made any false reference to the Prophet, the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Imam observed. So actually the introduction is from Ibn Shabrama. Ibn Shabrama is stressing that this hadith is right 100%, because from the beginning he said, I swear that neither his father, means Imam al-Baqir, nor did his grandfather and great grandfather said any lie. So this means Ibn Shabrama said, I am sure the Holy Prophet has said. Now what is the hadith? This is the Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam has said. He says the Messenger of Allah, whoever acted on guesswork in the matter of religion and divine command, met his doom and brought others to their doom. Meaning he has perished and led others to perish also. He has gone astray and led others to go astray. And whoever pronounced a verdict without knowledge of the annulment against what is annulled, is nasikh and mansukh of Quran. So if he made a verdict and he doesn't know what was abrogated and what is the ayah that abrogated that, and which of the verses from the Quran are obvious, mufkam, and which are ambiguous, mutashabah, not only met his doom but also brought others to their doom. So anybody who follows his own ideas, he is perishing and is getting others to perish, and anybody gives verdict without knowledge and he doesn't know which ayah of Quran was abrogated and which was not, which one is confirmed and which one is similar and needs clear cut knowledge from the Holy Prophet to do tafsir of the Quran and to know the exact meaning of the ayah. So anyone who is not having clear knowledge and he gives fatwa, naturally فَقَدْ هَلَكَ وَأَهْلَكَ, he perished and he let others to perish. So it shows how great responsibility upon people not to give any fatwa without having a clear cut knowledge. We come to number 12, باب من عمل بغير علم, chapter on acting without knowledge. Naturally here there is a great stress that whatever we know we should practice, and we cannot practice without proper knowledge. Actually here the effect or the stress more that we should know first then to practice. We cannot practice without having clear-cut knowledge. We see the first hadith from Abu Abdullah Sadiq alayhi salam, the one who acts without insight, without knowledge, is like a pedestrian on a wrong path, whose speed along the way only carries him further away from his destination. What a beautiful hadith and a beautiful example. The one who is working without proper knowledge is like the one who is going in the wrong direction. Now if that run in that wrong direction, he will not reach the target, whatever he can run, whatever speed he can move, but actually he goes away and away of the target. So it is not how much or the volume of the work the people are doing. Actually that work should be on the right side, otherwise whatever speed they move it might be in the wrong and they will be more and more wrong and far from Iman if they do not follow the teachings of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Ahlul Bayt. Again the second hadith from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam says, Almighty Allah never accepts any virtuous act unless it is accompanied by knowledge and consciousness. So what we does, it should be through proper knowledge that this work will please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there can be no knowledge and consciousness without the virtuous act. Again, if we have proper knowledge, then we have to do good deeds, proper deeds. He who has acquired knowledge and consciousness is guided by it towards virtuous deeds. And he who has no virtuous deeds has basically no such knowledge and consciousness at all. Verily, belief and its results, that is virtuous deeds, interact on each other. So anybody who has a proper knowledge, his knowledge will guide him for proper deeds. And anybody who is not doing good jobs, good deeds, is because of his ignorance. He has no knowledge. Because iman, part of it is interacting with the other part. Again, the third hadith from Abu Abdullah alayhi salam, saying, relating to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the Messenger of Allah said, whoever acts without knowledge actually wrongs more than he corrects. So, because what he tried to do good deeds, but what he is doing is wrong, and his good deeds are not really that good deeds. We come to chapter number 13 here, chapter on application and use of knowledge. If we have knowledge, how to use this knowledge? Well, I will read maybe the first hadith, which is a very good hadith, and I will leave the rest for your reading. Hadith is related to Amir al-Mu'mini alayhi salam, and he said that quoting the Holy Prophet as saying during his discourses, the Holy Prophet's discourses. Religious scholars are of two types. The first is the scholar who derives from his knowledge by putting it into practical use. He is due to get salvation. The second is the scholar who sets aside his knowledge without deriving any benefit from its practical use. He is the scholar who is destined to meet his doom. To meet his doom means he is perishing. Halik. So, the ulama are of two types. One is practicing what he know, then he is being saved. The other one is not practicing, and he is perishing. The Holy Prophet continues, lo, even the dwellers of hell will be tormented by the stink spreading from such a scholar. No other dweller of hell shall face so intense repentance and frustration as the learned one who invited another man towards Allah, and in response to whose call, the other man accepted him and obeyed Allah, and as a result entered paradise. But the scholar himself was sent to hell because he had forsaken the knowledge and its practical use, and that he had followed his evil desires and had entertained wild hopes. Since the pursuit of evil desires repels from the truth, and the wild hopes makes one forget the life hereafter. So the one who feels sorry on the day of judgment, or among those who are in hellfire, the one of the most people who feel sorry for what happened is somebody who called others to worship Allah. Now the other man has accepted his call and he worshipped Allah and he went to paradise. But the one who called them, the alim or the preacher himself, did not practice, and he left his the good deeds and he went to hellfire. And here the end of the hadith is said, أما اتباع الهوى فيصد عن الحق وطول الأمل ينسي الآخرة. Following our evil desire depend from the truth, because if we follow our desires, naturally our desires will not bring us towards the right path, but will bring us more towards shaitan. And طول الأمل, the wild hopes, I don't know if the translation is right, wild hopes, or having long hope, will let one forget the life hereafter. If I am hoping everything will happen tomorrow, and after 1 year, after 10 years, and after 100 years, means I am forgetting the akhirat. I am not thinking in akhirat. I am only thinking of myself and thinking of this dunya. So there is no thinking about akhirat. Well, other hadith are beautiful in this section, which can be read. And we come to number 14, chapter on one who lives by and is proud of his knowledge. Now, if somebody who has knowledge, he should not be proud of it, and he should not really use it as business to mislead people or for sake of dunya, but it should be for sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see the first hadith, Amir al-Mu'min alayhi salam saying, I have the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam observed, two types of hungry persons can never be appeased. So as the seeker of the worldly gains, and second one, the seeker of knowledge. من هومان لا يشبعان طالب دنيا وطالب علم. So these two people, those who are willing to get more and more of this worldly life, naturally they will not get satisfied. Whatever they get, they need more. And those who seek knowledge also will not get satisfied. Whatever knowledge they got, they need more and more knowledge. Now, more clarification is given by the Holy Prophet as saying, he who confined himself in respect of his worldly gains within what Allah has sanctioned for him achieves the real peace. So if somebody take of dunya only what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it halal, then he has got the real peace, because he has not indulged in haram sins. And he who achieves the worldly gains through what Allah has not allowed him through haram ways meets his doom, except when he repents and turns away from this evil through repaying what he owed to others. So if somebody takes dunya from haram way, naturally he will perish unless he repents. The Holy Prophet continues saying, and he who acquires knowledge from the one worthy of it and brings his knowledge into practice secures his salvation. And the share of the person who acquires knowledge of religion with the motive of worldly gains shall only be limited to the extent of these worldly gains themselves. So if somebody takes the knowledge from the right people and he practices of what he learned, naturally he will be saved. And if somebody is wants only to be proud of his knowledge and it's for sake of dunya, then he will get only dunya, nothing else. There is no thawab and no benefit in akhirat. So the idea of getting knowledge is to work for akhirat, not to work for dunya. Uh, I think this hadith is sufficient. You can read the rest. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.